Welcome to the Traditional Arts Indiana podcast, featuring interviews with craftspeople and artists from our residency series at the Mathers Museum of World Cultures in Bloomington. I'm your host, Emily Burke. Today's podcast features a recording from our archives. This recording, created during the 2015 Lotus World Arts and Music Festival, features Director of Traditional Arts Indiana, John Kay, conducting a narrative stage event with basket weaver Vicki Graber. We hope you enjoy this interview, recorded in front of a live audience outdoors.
Now you make baskets. Some of them are very similar to your father's baskets, but they're also a little bit different. You've taken it to a different place. Can you talk a little bit about how your baskets are different than your father's and your grandfather's?
My grandfather, or great and great grandfather, especially made baskets that were just to be used. They would use the wild willow that would grow, you know, in swampy areas or sloughs or along riverbanks. And they were not concerned at all about color or style or, you know, how pretty it was. It just needed to hold things. It needed to function. But as time passed, when I started making baskets that were exactly like my father's baskets, there wasn't as much interest. And so I discovered that there are quite a few different colors, like natural colors of baskets or of willows. And I get to grow 15 different varieties in my patch just for the color differences, and it makes the amount of baskets that you can make just limitless. None of them are the same.
Tell us a little bit about the basket that you're making right here.
Okay. This basket that I'm working on is called a stake and strand basket, which is what I was taught. And I didn't even realize that's what it was called until I got in touch with other basket weavers who learned from books. I mean, I just learned from my family. And so it's just a regular basket with a bottom and, you know, sides. And when I get to the height that I want, these uprights will get bent over and become a top rim, similar to this basket on the other side of me.
So, how long have you been working on this basket, and how much longer do you think it's going to take?
I sorted the willows for this basket a week ago, and then put them in a trough of water to soak them, and took them out this morning. So this is just what I've done since about 10 o'clock, and hopefully be able to finish it today yet.
So basically, there's a lot of thinking and prep before you even start the basket, and then it goes fairly fast. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
in the production.
That's correct. The harvesting and the sorting is the really time-consuming part. Once you get to start weaving, as long as you know what you're doing, it doesn't take as long.
So you've made these baskets, and you grow your own willows. You said 16 different varieties of willow. What else, if somebody was going to make a basket like this, what types of tools would they need to have besides access to willow and the like?
Well, I have this tool, which is the tip of a lightning rod, like that you see on a barn or, I suppose, even a house. But my father called it a Spitzka.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, Spitzka's German for pointy thing.
It's good to have good make sure you've got all the right technical terms and stuff.
It's really good when I need to tuck willows into tight spaces. It spreads it out a little bit so that I can fit them through.
Right. Other than a pointy thing, what else do you use?
Just pruners, clippers.
Okay, pocket knife, jackknife.
A little bit of, yeah. And as I learn more styles, I realize I need more tools.
So. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about that learning of different styles here that you've got?
All right. I can hold that. Okay. Here I have what's called a rib basket, which is a style that I learned a couple years ago from another basket weaver friend of mine. Basically, because it's got all these ribs in it. You start out by just lashing the handle to the top rim, and as you weave, you keep adding more of the ribs, and pretty soon, hopefully today again, at the end of the day, I'll have this all enclosed by weaving back and forth. And this is a kind of, I call this a garden basket. You know, go out to your garden and gather things, or flowers, or vegetables. But there's also a style similar to this called an egg basket that has more of a flat bottom, because you don't want your eggs to pile on top of each other. You want them to spread out.
So one of the things, lots of times we think about tradition, being a tradition bearer and keeping basket making alive. But you've internalized the tradition, you may say, of your father and your great grandfather. Why are you adding to that? What's the importance of that, or what does that bring to you?
I like new challenges. I like different styles. I like learning different weaves. Meeting other willow basket weavers, like getting together with a whole bunch of weavers for a class or whatever, it's like getting together with my tribe. We can all talk to each other and understand our, you know, the passion we have for weaving. And I love that no basket is the same as the next, and that with willows, they sometimes have a mind of their own, so you never know. You can have grand plans for a basket and it might be come out completely different, and that's okay, because the willow has decided what it should be like.
Definitely. Can you before we talk about the other baskets that you brought here, can you say a little bit more about your father? And he was actually honored for his craft and in a very, very significant way. Can you talk about that?
In 2009, my father was awarded the National Endowment of the Arts Heritage Fellowship Award, which I didn't know at the time, but John told me it's the highest honor that a folk artist can get. And even though he didn't weave a variety of baskets with a lot of color, he saw the importance of carrying on the tradition, and he was an excellent storyteller and could just... talk about his heritage and how important it was and how important it is to pass along to future generations. Otherwise, we'd lose it.
And even though you've lived up in the Mennonite community of Goshen, Indiana, for almost 30 years or so, back in South Dakota, there's a place and a festival that your father participated in and that you continue, that's important to you. Can you talk about that?
There's a festival called Schmeckfest. The community that I come from is German, Swiss German, and Hutterite, and so it's very important to the people of that community to preserve the traditions. And Schmeckfest, it's essentially a fundraiser for the high school that I went to, but it's also one of the ways, inadvertently, that community has preserved all kinds of traditions, not just basket weaving, but food traditions and other crafts, chair caning, rope making, things of that sort.
Fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about the other baskets that you've brought here?
This large basket is, the weave is called English Randing, and it's made differently from this in that it's done one willow at a time. And so that's why you see I start the willow going over two and then just weaving back and forth. And so it makes a ridge that kind of climbs up the sides. Should have a turntable, then it would spiral up.
And for those of you that are towards the back, it kind of looks like it's all one color, probably, from a distance. But there's a lot of color variation in that. Can you talk about what you've done to make that possible?
Well, that's one of the things I really love about willow is that, you know, the different species are just different colors. And so, and sometimes even within the same willow, the side that has been facing the sun might be a different hue than the side that isn't. So when it gets woven, even if you have just one kind of willow in a basket, it can look all mottled and beautiful. And they also really smell great. Make sure to come over to the booth and smell them.
That's fantastic. I'm going to ask you to tell us about this basket as well, and then about the willow weave that you have on your arm.
This basket is just a variation on the original stake and strand that I learned. I just wove two willows at the same time, which gives a different look, and you try to get contrasting colors on that. And just built up one side just to make it a little bit more unique than just a flat a rim. So that's how you know which is the front. Or just the front.
Exactly. What would your father say if he saw a basket like that?
He says, it's crooked.
That's great. That's great. So tell us about the weave on your arm.
I have a basket weave tattoo on this arm because, you know, you only get tattoos of things that are very, very special to you. And this one was actually modeled after a picture of a basket that I actually... that I wove, and took the picture into my tattoo artist, and she just did a really good job of depicting it. And that's a basket that you can see at my exhibit at the Mathers.
Definitely, definitely. That's actually a good transition. But before we talk about the exhibit, I wanted to see if there was anybody in the audience that had questions or things you wanted to learn more about from Vicki. Any questions here? You may have to come up because it's kind of loud.
I was wondering if you have any students or if you are passing on the tradition that you learned from your father to anybody else.
I have taught a nephew and a second cousin so far. Mm-hmm. My nieces or great nieces are a little too bit young yet, but yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah. We're in a conversation right now with the Indiana State Park System about setting up a folk school that'll travel to state park inns, and Vicki is on a very short list of artists that we're looking to have be part of our statewide folk school that we're working on as well. Other questions here?
Can you buy the willows like by theirself, or do you have to grow those? How do you get them if you don't grow them?
If you can find a nursery, if you look on the internet, you know, Google it like everything else, okay. You can find nurseries that will sell bunches of dried willow.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you also can get your starts from ditch lines and other places,
right,
too,
I
right?
I was just going to point that out, is that it's on my way here, I was spotting all kinds of patches of willow that if you cut it and if you stick it in the ground in the spring, it will sprout roots and grow up. It's that easy. It's very prolific material.
But these aren't branches or anything. These are
right.
1 year's growth.
These
right?
are 1 year's growth. This is the shoot that you see growing straight up out of the ground. I cut them off every fall, and then in the spring again, they're back up like gangbusters. Yeah.
That's great. Any more questions from anyone? Well, this has been great. I want to hear just talk to you a little bit about the exhibit that is at the Mathers, because it's one of our hopes in having Vicki come to this event is the fact that through on into December, there's going to be this one-woman show at the Mathers Museum there on Indiana Avenue, right on the IU campus. It's a free museum. You can go and you can see her work there, along with several other baskets, oak rod baskets from here in Indiana, as well as baskets from Southwest China. So you want to make sure you check that out. But what are people going to see when they come to the exhibit at the Mathers Museum?
There are... obviously, very traditional baskets like my father taught me how to make, because I feel it's really important to represent that. And then there are some styles that will deviate just a little bit from that, and then there are other styles that will just deviate a lot from what I was taught. Some things that borderline on non-functional, but I really like to make baskets that do work, that can be used for something.
Right.
So, and lots of different colors, and I grow curly willows too, which are just all everywhere around out there. Like, and so I tried to weave them into a basket one time, but it ends up that they just stretch out and flatten out, and you can't even tell that they're curly willow. So I wanted to incorporate them in another way, And so I use them as a rim to a giant 7-foot tray that is right at the beginning of the exhibit on the wall, and which would make a fantastic centerpiece for like your conference room or.
And Vicky does take orders, and you can you can work on that. And if you want to see, you know, we talk about 16 different variety of willows, different colors and things. You really, in what she's brought here, you don't really get a feel for the nature of the dynamics of the color, from bright reds and pinks to brilliant greens, and they stay that those colors. They stay very vibrant. So I really want to encourage you all to check out the exhibit. I also want to thank Vicky Graber for taking time out to be with us here at Lotus Festival. I think it'd be great if folks would come over to your booth and actually watch you work a little bit more. You could talk to Vicky one-on-one. We got one more question.
Do you have to preserve this after you get it finished, or you just leave it natural?
The willows have natural oils in them, and so some of them dry a little shiny like this. The ones that I gather in the wild, like the native Indiana ones, dry a little bit more rustic, kind of a matte finish. But so, yeah, it varies. But no, I never have put any lacquer or anything on them.
Let's hear it again for Vicky Graber.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast and will tune in again next time. This podcast would not be possible without the support of the National Endowment for the Arts, the Indiana Arts Commission, and Indiana University's Themester Program.